The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. If you have one of the Bibles from the pew, you can join me on page 61. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is God's word.
Amen. Well, good morning. My name's Grant. I'm a pastor here at Life Connection. Really excited that you've joined us. Hope you've been made to feel welcome already as you came in this morning. So who can tell me, when do we see kids' creativity at its absolute peak? Go ahead, shout it out. Somebody's got an idea. The correct answer is bedtime. At bedtime, kids have all these ideas about how they can stay up, all the things that they need to do other than go to sleep. Last week, I was putting my 2-year-old and 4-year-old boys to bed. It had been a long day, busy day. They were totally drained and exhausted. And we had a good bedtime routine. We prayed. We read a book. They were exhausted. You know, everything was going well. Right when my foot hit the bottom of the stairs, heard my 2-year-old Nathan scream out, Dada, I need one last drink of milk. So I still had the milk cups in my hand, like the gracious, generous father I was. I decided I'll walk up the stairs. I'll give him one last drink of milk. So he did that. Get back downstairs. Dada, I need my dino. Now, Nathan, my 2-year-old, is big into dinosaurs, as most 2-year-old boys are. Right now, his favorite is the Triceratops, and he carries it around with him all day, oftentimes losing it in various places in the world. So neither him nor me really had much of an idea as to where it was, but we were able to track it down, took the time, found it, got him back to bed. All right, back downstairs. Dada, I need a drink of water. Now, I'm getting to the point that I'm pretty convinced Nathan asked for these things in a particular order that he knew I would come. But with a request like water, you feel kind of bad as a parent, even though you know he's probably lying, but you feel kind of bad withholding something like water from your child. And there's something about bedtime in a child's life that just dries out their mouth so much. Anybody else? It's some sort of scientific phenomenon. Okay, he gets a drink, get him back to bed, back downstairs. Dada, I need to go potty. Well, we're working on potty training. I can't really say no to that. Take him up, he goes potty. I'd obviously rather it go in the toilet than the alternative options. And he pees a little bit, so it makes me feel like it was worth the trip upstairs at least. Get back downstairs. I get to the couch this time, sit down for a couple minutes. Dad, I pooped! Very excitedly. Whew, I'm starting to get a little frustrated, huffing and puffing, get my exercise in up and down the stairs. But finally, we get that situation resolved, get him to bed, and pretty much he just collapses and falls asleep at this point. I think it's interesting how similar we are to children when we stop and think about it. How often are we running around trying to be as productive as we possibly can, or doing all these things that we need to do, ignoring our need for true rest and refreshment, and then we end up collapsing under the weight of it after a while. We read this command from God today to practice the Sabbath, to remember, rest, and worship. Yet how many reasons can we think of for why we don't have time to do it, or why it isn't as high on our priority list as so many other things? And I have to admit, I feel a bit like the hypocrite Carson described last week, because me and my family have a long ways to grow in our Sabbath rhythms. But I think all of us would likely say that we need some deep rest and refreshment from the chaos that is around us. But are we too busy to stop and take a break? There are too many chores to do. How could the world continue to spin if I put my phone away for a few hours and don't keep up with my notifications? What would I miss out on if I'm not checking my social media, staying up to date? How will I know what to be angry about today? We oscillate between these two extremes of needing to be productive all the time and then entertaining ourselves to death, avoiding true rest and refreshment our souls desperately need. And after a while of these cycles, we end up feeling weary, like we can't keep up, we can't keep all these plates spinning, and we feel like throwing in the towel. Worse still, we can spiral into anxiety and depression, feeling like we're always striving and never measuring up. Did anyone feel like that when they walked through the doors this morning? But God didn't create us to live like this. And the good news this morning in the fourth commandment is that it gives hope to weary people like us. As Carson has done a great job the last few weeks of orienting us to the Ten Commandments, rather than viewing them as prison bars, they are guardrails on the road to true freedom. Today, as we take a closer look at the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath, let's keep that in mind. These are like 10 loving words from a father to a son. The Ten Commandments are structured such that the first four are focused on our relationship with God vertically, and the remaining six are focused on our relationship with each other horizontally. Today's commandment on the Sabbath is the hinge, and embracing God's design for Sabbath will help us love God and our neighbor better. Now, there are many views on the Sabbath among Christians. Some believe that the Lord's Day, Sunday, is a direct continuation of the Sabbath command of the seventh day, Saturday, in the Old Testament. Some believe it was totally fulfilled in Christ and no longer applicable to us today. Some are extremely rigorous in their practices of the Sabbath, and some are more relaxed. So today, as we examine this command, I want to pose a simple question to us. What does the Sabbath mean for us today? Let's pray. Father, would you help us understand more of your word and design for us in the Sabbath this morning? Would your Holy Spirit be working in our hearts to help us see the true Sabbath rest that Jesus has accomplished for us through his work on the cross? Help us see you more clearly and give us soft hearts ready to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does the Sabbath mean for us today? First, we see the Sabbath command in Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 10. The Sabbath command. Let's read these again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. These verses describe the command given to Israel. They were to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. If you're familiar with the Old Testament very much, hearing God tell his people to remember something sounds very familiar. In Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are repeated by Moses to the people, and listen to verse 15 as he concludes the same command. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Remembering what God has done is a key part of the Sabbath. In these verses, Israel is commanded to remember. Remember how God had delivered them from their slavery, how God had parted the Red Sea to deliver them from the Egyptians, how he had sustained them with manna from heaven during their wilderness wanderings as they awaited the promised land. But kind of like Dory in Finding Nemo, Israel was prone to quickly forgetting what God had done, complaining about how difficult their current circumstances are instead of being grateful for God's provision for them. Whew. Anybody else struggle like this sometimes? Always seeing the negative in the circumstances around us instead of God's gracious provision for us? I know I struggle. Remembering to rest is an active thing because it can be easy to tend towards thinking that we must be productive all the time. And a command like this kind of sounds crazy at first. Give up productivity for a whole day? Who are we, Chick-fil-A? What about all the extra profits we can make? God must not understand how busy we are in our lives in the 21st century that never stop, right? If we are too busy to build Sabbath rhythms into our life, I think we need to stop and reevaluate our calendars. The word Sabbath in Hebrew literally means to cease or to desist, to stop. I like equations, so a helpful, simple way to remember the Sabbath's purpose is this simple one. Sabbath equals remember plus rest plus worship. Sabbath equals remember plus rest plus worship. Israel was to do all their work on the other 6 days so that they could cease on the seventh, giving a full day to remembering, resting, and worshiping the Lord. Practicing the Sabbath requires trust in the Lord, that he will provide even when we aren't being productive. It forces us to weekly reckon with the fact that we are dependent on God. Yet that is actually a freeing and wonderful thing for us. The Sabbath command also protects people from being overworked. God tells his people that no work at all shall be done by their kids, servants, immigrants, even animals. Has God placed you in a position of influence at your job to make sure people aren't being overworked and that they have time to remember, rest, and worship? In Leviticus 25, we even see a Sabbath for the land. The land was to be worked 6 years, and then they were to let it rest for a year. And across the board, there is wisdom in the patterns that God has set in motion in the world for these principles of Sabbath. But wait, this was a commandment given to Israel under the old covenant. We live under the new covenant. So what does the Sabbath mean for us today? We saw the Sabbath command. Secondly, we see the Sabbath rooted in creation. Let's read verse 11. The Sabbath rooted in creation. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God crafted the mountains and seas, set the solar system on its axis, established the laws of nature, created animals and image bearers, us, all in 6 days. And God didn't need to rest after he created the world. He doesn't get tired like we do. Psalm 121, verse 4 says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." God didn't need to take a Sabbath because he was tired, but he chose to as a pattern for us because he knows that we do need it. He gave us this pattern, six on, one off, as an example to follow. And it reminds us that we were created to work, but we weren't created only to work. Work is an opportunity to use our God-given gifts to steward God's creation well, to care for our neighbors, and to glorify God. But work isn't ultimate. When it does become ultimate and the end-all, be-all in our life, we're in a very dangerous place. How many of us might be struggling with workaholism or have seen it destroy someone's life? The unlimited, all-powerful, infinite Creator gave us this pattern for our good. We need to remember, rest, and worship every single week to reorient our hearts to God instead of ourselves. The Sabbath command also shows us that God cares more about us as people, body, mind, and soul, rather than merely as producers. So are you feeling that pull toward working as much as you possibly can? Even being here this morning, are you thinking of all the other things that you need to accomplish today? Examine yourself. Why do I feel the need to push myself to the max with work? Am I worried about providing for my family? Am I worried that my company would survive if I don't? What about if I get passed up on promotions because others are willing to put in more hours than I am? Do I busy myself with endless tasks because I'm avoiding dealing with the deeper issues in my life? If we get to the heart of these questions, I think that the one underlying them is this: do I believe that God will sustain me if I obey his command to Sabbath? So at this point, you're saying, okay, Grant, so God gave this command to Israel. It's rooted back in creation, but we still haven't really seen exactly what it means for us today. Let's fast forward a little bit to the New Testament in Scripture to see if Jesus can help us understand it better. What does the Sabbath mean for us today? We saw the Sabbath command. We saw the Sabbath rooted in creation. And thirdly, we see the Sabbath revealed further by Christ. The Sabbath revealed further by Christ. Listen to these words from Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." In this encounter with the Pharisees, they accuse Jesus and his disciples of breaking this commandment, not on the basis of the commandment itself, but the additional rules and regulations that the Jews had continued to add on and pile up on the Sabbath over the many years. Jesus' response in these verses is interesting. He doesn't challenge the Pharisees directly on the extra rules that have been added, but rather points them to this dire situation that David was in 1 Samuel 21, where he's fleeing for his life from King Saul, and he goes to the priest to ask for bread that only the priest should have eaten. Jesus' point is clear in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So if the Sabbath wasn't designed by God to be this burden, we shouldn't turn it into one. Jason preached on this back in early 2021 in the series we did on Sabbath called Starting with Sabbath, which I'd encourage you to go back and check out if you're interested. A quote from him was, "The Sabbath is not a burden to endure, but a gift to enjoy." So how often can our obedience slip into an attitude like the Pharisees have here if we aren't careful? Can we miss the deeper purpose behind God's commands all the while we're policing those around us? Jesus speaks clearly in Matthew 7, condemning those who pick the speck out of their brother's eye while they have a log in their own eye. I'd also like to discuss one aspect of practicing the Sabbath. In the passages that we've read, the seventh day, Saturday, has been the day blessed or commanded by God to observe the Sabbath. So why is it that Christians generally don't do that today? So there are many things that God gave his people under the old covenant that were a shadow of the substance yet to come. For example, the sacrificial system under the old covenant showed Israel their need for a payment for sin in order to be reconciled to God. Jesus was the ultimate, perfect fulfillment of that, the one-time sacrifice for us. And thus, we don't continue to sacrifice animals today, but rather trust in his sacrifice. Similarly, the Sabbath was given to Israel as a shadow, pointing them to the perfect rest to come by trusting in Jesus. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the practice of the disciples and the early church was to meet together on the first day of the week, called the Lord's Day, to remember the resurrection. Thus, 2,000 years later, We're meeting corporately together on Sundays for worship. Alistair Begg, in his book Pathways to Freedom, refers to this. He says, "The change not only bore witness to the resurrection, but it emphasized the difference between the Christian Sunday and the Jewish Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath," say that five times fast, "came at the end of 6 days and spoke of a rest to come. The Christian Sunday comes at the beginning of the week, symbolizing the rest that Jesus Christ has won for those who trust in him." Kevin DeYoung, in his book on the Ten Commandments, says, "Even if we conclude that there are significant points of discontinuity between the Jewish Sabbath and the Christian Lord's Day, we would be unwise to suggest that God is indifferent to the principles of rest and worship." So while we don't believe that the exact same moral demands are upon believers today to treat Sunday exactly like Israel treated the Sabbath in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean that the principles of Sabbath are voided for us today. We're still called to follow this pattern that God set up of six on and one off. And incorporating these Sabbath rhythms can be extremely important for all of us. However, let's not lose sight that the Sabbath points us to something much bigger and grander than just ceasing from work one day a week. The rest that your weary soul is desperately longing for isn't going to be found by just stopping work for a day a week, or binging the next Netflix series, or flying to an all-inclusive resort, but by experiencing the very presence of Jesus. Regardless of our beliefs on the particulars of practicing the Sabbath, for every one of us this morning, the call is the same. Come to Jesus and lay your burdens on him. Our wonderful Savior, through his work on the cross, has purchased eternal rest for all who would call on him in faith. He rose from the dead on Sunday, displaying his victory over Satan, sin, and death, and he will one day return to usher in his new creation, new heaven, new earth, ultimate Sabbath rest. Have you been participating in religious activities but been missing the point, like the Pharisees did with Jesus? Oftentimes we can fool people with our actions and our external appearance, but ultimately God knows our hearts, so there's no point in pretending. And none of us are promised tomorrow. So what is it that's keeping you this morning from giving up on your old way of life, that's left you weary and coming to Jesus in faith and experiencing true rest? Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Would you come to Jesus in faith this morning and experience this true rest? If you want to talk more about what it means to give your life to Christ, I'd encourage you, mark it down on the communication card. Come down front after the service, talk to a pastor. Don't let today go by. But back to the question that we asked at the start, what does the Sabbath mean for us today? I think we've discovered that the Sabbath is life-giving refreshment to weary people to remember, rest, and worship. The Sabbath is life-giving refreshment to weary people to remember, rest, and worship. So to finish up this morning, I'd like to give us some practical next steps for building Sabbath rhythms into our lives. God often uses small habits and disciplines to form us over longer periods of time. The first encouragement is to rest in Christ, whether for the first time or resting in him anew. Even if we follow Jesus for a long time, we can easily drift towards believing that God loves us on the basis of something that we've done. Look again on the Savior. Trust in his work, not your own. Rest in Christ. Secondly, prioritize corporate worship. While there's a million other things and activities that are vying for our time and attention, be here. Come when you feel like it, come when you don't. Come when an amateur like me is preaching, and come when some of the older, more seasoned, veterans are up here. Remember that corporate worship isn't just about us or our preferences, but us as God's people together, remembering who he is and worshiping him together. Being here or in another gospel-centered church in our city is an essential component of Sabbath rhythms in our lives. We are a forgetful people. We need to come week after week, month after month, year after year to remember the truths of the gospel, to go deeper in our relationship with Christ. We should see ourselves not merely as observers in corporate worship, but as participants. How can we encourage someone else this morning? Do you have a great singing voice? Belt it out. Do you have a terrible singing voice and you can't even hit a note? Go ahead, belt it out too. Maybe somebody around you needs to hear your voice this morning singing praises to God. I challenge you before rushing off after the service today, who can you meet, encourage, or briefly pray for that's sitting around you? These interactions can be just as important, if not more so, than anything going on here up on the stage. Lastly, consider your Sabbath rhythms, whether personal or family. How can you arrange your life so that you can cease for a period of time each week? Is there a need for you to take a look at chores and things like laundry, dishes, grocery shopping, cooking, yard work, home improvement projects, etc., and think about how you can get those done on another day or being okay leaving those undone? Even if it's not a full day, start somewhere. Try to block off a four-hour chunk to begin to practice this. Think about what activities are refreshing and life-giving for you. Turn off the phone and put it in another room. Entertainment and leisure don't have to be totally off limits, but let's recognize that sitting in front of the TV or mindlessly scrolling all day is not going to be the restful, life-giving activity that we need. Maybe you're thinking, how in the world do I Sabbath when I've got young kids running around? The poopy diapers keep coming on Sundays. Well, first, please keep on changing those poopy diapers even on Sundays. And secondly, let's be creative. Go take a walk or a hike with your kids to enjoy a beautiful day. Spend time reading good books together. During your kids' nap time, instead of catching up on all the chores you need to do, take a nap too. Share a meal with good friends. Ask good, thoughtful questions of others. Consider longer, more focused periods of rest and worship in your life. Plan a Saturday morning to get up early. Go sit by the lake for several hours to fast, pray, read the word, rest. Perhaps you don't have kids, but are around others that do, particularly single parents. Consider reaching out to them to offer to watch their kids to free them up to be able to get some extended time away. As part of the family of God, we need to learn to proactively look for ways to serve one another while also being humble enough to ask for help whenever we need it. Having the capacity to do any of these things, though, often takes a lot of planning in our life so that we actually have the margin for it. So let's work towards following this pattern that God has set out for us, 6 on, 1 off, and see how he uses it in your life to draw you to himself. As with all the commandments, the purpose is so much deeper than just following a rule, but experiencing the true and abundant life that God created us for. In a world that never stops going and values productivity above all, a people that chooses to cease will be appealing to a weary world who has been drained by always striving and never measuring up. So in a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. This is an opportunity for us as believers to remember Jesus, to remember to take the bread and eat of it, remembering his broken body for us on the cross. And then taking the juice and drinking together, remembering his blood poured out for us. If you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, we'd ask you to stay in your seat, to prayerfully consider the things that you've heard and the free offer of salvation in Christ. This is something Jesus instituted for his disciples to observe together. And before rushing down the aisle, take a minute to remember. This isn't some meaningless ritual that we do as Christians each week. It's a part of Sabbath rhythms to remember what God has done for us in Christ and the rest that we can experience today in him. What does the Sabbath mean for us today? The Sabbath is life-giving refreshment to weary people to remember, rest, and worship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Would we delight in your commandments and see them as a gracious word from you? Holy Spirit, help us look to Jesus and rest in him. In his name we pray. Amen.